This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. You're listening to What If Malaysia, an 8-episode miniseries where we explore what Malaysia could look like with specific progressive ideas, concepts and policies. I'm Dashran Johan, and previously on the show we asked the question, what if Malaysia legalizes sex work? On today's episode, we'll be exploring what if Malaysia abolishes the death penalty. But as always, I can't do this alone. So join me on the show today is Sangeet Dio, a lawyer and a member of the All Party Parliamentary Group Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Sangeet. How are you doing?
I'm good, Dashran. Thanks for having me.
All right. To start off, perhaps we can sort of paint the picture of what it's like in Malaysia right now. So what is the current laws when it comes to death penalty in Malaysia? I mean, what crimes are punishable by death and which of these offences are most likely to be issued a death sentence?
At the moment, there are about 30 offences or so in Malaysia that carry the death penalty. Most commonly, drug trafficking is one of them, murder, possession or discharge under the Firearms Act, treason, waging war against the king, terrorism, and a host of other similar category of offences. 11 carry the mandatory death sentence, 9 are from the Penal Code and 2 others are from the Firearms Act. But there have been some amendments in relation to the mandatory death sentence relating to drug-related offences.
What exactly do you mean by mandatory versus non-mandatory death sentence?
Mandatory would mean where the courts have no option but to deliver a sentence of death. Until very recently, there was only one sentence for trafficking of drugs in Malaysia, which was death by hanging. But as a result of an amendment at the end of 2017, early 2018, the courts now have the discretion to decide between life imprisonment or hanging or the death sentence. But even then, there is a very strict criteria that has to be met before the judge can exercise his jurisdiction, or rather his discretion, to opt for the lesser sentence of life imprisonment.
Okay. And Sangeet, back in 2018, right, the then Law Minister Dato VK Liu, he campaigned for the total abolition of the death penalty, and this was under the previous Pakatan Harapan government. But that plan was then revoked in 2019 as the government announced its decision to retain the punishment and only managed to abolish the mandatory capital punishment that you brought up earlier. And then they also imposed a moratorium on all executions until it is fully abolished. So I guess I have two questions there. What exactly inspired the push for the total abolition? And then why did it get backtracked? And what was the justification behind the move?
The Pakatan Harapan government appeared to be more in line with international human rights laws that advocated for the abolishment of the death penalty. This has been going on for several years. You will see over the last decade or so, many countries have moved away from the death penalty because for the simple reason that there is no real evidence that the death penalty is in fact an effective deterrent. There are so many flaws within the criminal justice system and also the judicial system that simply makes the irreversible effect of the death penalty too heavy a sentence. However, there is a conservative voice in Malaysia, and I would say that comes largely maybe from law enforcement agencies, religious groups, who associate death penalty with public safety. And a necessary deterrent. I think ultimately the decision by the PH government to abolish the death penalty faced a setback due to public backlash. And I think there were surveys conducted and public media reports which showed that essentially Malaysians were not ready to abolish the death penalty in totality.
Let's dive into that a little bit. What would you say is the general perception by Malaysians when it comes to the death penalty? I know people who are constantly researching and looking at what human rights agencies around the world are saying. You know, a lot of people think that the death penalty should be abolished. But are these sentiments shared when we talk to the layperson on the street?
I think we would be safe to say that based on surveys conducted in Malaysia, that most Malaysians actually feel that the mandatory death penalty should be retained while judges should be given the discretion, especially for brutal crimes such as murder and serious offences where there was high levels of aggression. Surveys and reports have shown that Malaysians are actually in favour of the death penalty. Again, because I feel it relates to a false sense of public safety. Also, I think we have to bear in mind a very understandable reaction from families of victims who find that this is the only fair solution to the loss that they have experienced. So there is indeed a conservative voice in Malaysia.
And what would you say is the biggest problem with the death penalty? Because you brought up this the idea that it's an irreversible nature of punishment, and there's always a risk of executing an innocent person, right? In fact, this has happened before. There are many accounts, especially when you read like international accounts, where a person was found guilty, sent to the gallows, and then years later, with new evidence, they found that the person is innocent. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it is a very real problem because in our country particularly, there are serious flaws in relation to the investigation process. So not only the judicial process, but even the initial process of arrest, interrogation, investigation. You must understand that a lot of these people who are arrested are often, they do not have access to legal representation at the early stages. And that is a very fundamental stage because that is when the investigation takes place. And technically, their defense or the potential defenses available to them should also be investigated right from the start. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these people do not know how to present their defenses during the time that statements are being taken. Also, there are serious flaws and inadequacies in relation to the investigation process, our system. There is certainly issues of corruption and incompetency, which all result in a question as to how reliable the investigation process is. Then you move on to the judicial process. As you've seen as well, there are many occasions in which a conviction is later reversed upon appeal. So this in itself suggests or shows that it can be reversed even during the appellate stage. So sometimes even the judges get it wrong. So these are real concerns that we should be very aware of. And in Malaysia particularly, we do not have a very open system of introducing new evidence once all the appellate stages have been concluded.
Right.
Unless there's a very compelling reason or that information or that evidence wasn't available earlier, it is usually not normal for the judicial system or the case to be reopened after the final tier of appeal, which is the federal court.
One argument against this is that, yes, you know, once in a blue moon, in the very rare instance, someone may get hanged and then years later they may be found innocent. But the argument I've heard, right, is that these, how they put it, so-called collateral damages are fine as long as the death penalty as a whole, it deters crime consistently. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, but that's exactly the point. There has been no evidence to show that the death penalty is in fact associated with a reduced level of crime. I think this is an archaic view that many hold because one is of the view that it will deter, does the idea of hanging or the idea of death will in fact deter crime. But on paper, there is no such evidence of that deterrence being effective. In fact, to the contrary, you will notice that countries that have implemented the abolition of the death penalty have seen a reduction in crime rates, whether or not directly related to the abolition of the death penalty. I mean, I don't think it is a cost to be taken lightly. It is a life at the end of the day. And just because it's one life every few years doesn't make it acceptable. It is still somebody's life. And I don't think it is in our hands to take that away.
On that note, we do need to go for a very quick break. After the break, we'll be exploring what Malaysia could look like if the death penalty is abolished. We'll be back with more on What If Malaysia, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to What If Malaysia, an 8-episode miniseries where we examine what Malaysia could look like with certain progressive ideas, concepts and policies. I'm Dashran Johan, and with me on the show today is Sangeet Dio, a lawyer and a member of the All-Party Parliamentary Group Malaysia, also known as APPGM. And we are exploring what if Malaysia abolished the death penalty. Now, Sangeet, according to a research done by Amnesty Malaysia, it has been reported that there's a disproportionate overrepresentation of the marginalized communities on death row in Malaysia. And this is as of February 2019. And out of that, 73% of them are convicted for drug trafficking. Why is this the case?
I think in my experience anyway, marginalized communities are often easy targets when it comes to drug mules because of social and economic conditions and disadvantaged backgrounds, for example, the lack of education, low literacy levels. I think all of this contribute to them being easy targets for those who are really trafficking. And also unemployment and difficult financial conditions, poverty. These are all reasons why these people would turn to crimes such as drug-related crimes. Now, the difficult situation here, and I've had this in my own experience, is where many are convicted, those convicted for drug offences don't even know what they're carrying, for example. And it never occurred to them to ask, or it never occurred to them to check. If they were told that they were transporting medication, for example, many would just accept it as it was and carry on. So this is one reason I feel marginalized communities are often easy targets.
And it's not just, you know, one thing is the, of course, drug trafficking aspect of it. And in general, also, do you think that at the end of the day, a lot of times the marginalized communities are the one affected the most because, like what you brought up earlier, especially in the early stages, you know, that's when like legal representation is important. And a lot of times when you're privileged, you know, of course, you can get the best lawyers in the world and they will, you know, be there with you and make sure that everything goes properly. But when you don't have good lawyers and when you don't have the education to know how to maneuver the landscape, that becomes a problem, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Upon arrest, I think these people from these communities will, number one, not have access to legal representation from the very early stages. Actually, even before that, their lack of literacy skills would probably also cause a major problem when it comes to investigation or when statements are taken from them. That will put them in a very disadvantaged position. And of course, when it comes to court proceedings, then they are not in a position to obtain, as you just said, legal representation to make sure that their rights are indeed defended in court.
All right. So far, 106 countries have abolished the death penalty for all crimes. And the Republic of Kazakhstan is the most recent state to have abolished it formally. And they abolished it just this year, which is 2nd of January 2021. How have these countries benefited from the abolishment of the death penalty?
Again, there have been some recent surveys. There was a Washington, D.C.-based organization that promotes human rights that did a survey and revealed that countries that have abolished death penalties have in fact seen a decrease in violent crimes. Canada has also reported a steady reduction in homicide crimes and a reduction of murder rates post abolition of the death penalty.
Okay. And one argument that I hear is that if we abolish the death penalty, what about the families? You know, what if you are a mother or a father to someone who has gotten murdered, to someone who has gotten raped and murdered? And if you abolish the death penalty, how will these families get closure? So when people bring up these arguments, how do you convince them?
I think that's a very fair question, because families of victims, you know, have a very serious issue to deal with, where they want to see a fair answer to their loss as well. And I think it's natural and understandable. But one thing to bear in mind is that a court sentence should not be about revenge. And it should lean more in favor of rehabilitation and deterrence. So once we understand that the abolishment, the death penalty, number one, does not per se reduce crime, I think it has to come hand in hand with a reform of the overhaul of the social justice system. So I think if we focus on the fact that it should not be about revenge, but it should be about making the country safer, and the death penalty is not the answer.
You know, I'm reminded of this quote from the film Batman Begins, where Rachel Dawes tells Bruce Wayne, "Justice is about harmony, revenge is about making yourself feel better." And I think that's a very apt quote for what we are discussing today. Now, you know, there are those who are against the abolition of the death penalty. Like you mentioned earlier, they usually justify the argument based on deterrence of crime rates. And you mentioned that there is actually no tangible evidence to suggest that the death penalty actually, you know, is an effective method to deter crime. So why do a lot of countries still have the death penalty when the data suggests otherwise?
I think it comes from the history of the death penalty, when it came from, you know, perhaps a religious background of the eye for an eye argument that set the tone for the death penalty. And it was seen as the most serious deterrent. What else could deter people from crime other than the threat of having your own life taken away? I think perhaps that was an initial justification many, many centuries, decades ago. But I think we should all lean towards research-based solutions. We should be moving forward. We should be more progressive in the way we manage crimes in any society. And I think we should rely on evidence-based solutions.
Okay. And, you know, what if we put aside the deterrent of crime perspective aside, and we look at it, you know, because some people will also ask, you know, let's say, what if a person is a serial killer? You know, he murdered 30 people throughout his life, you know, and even if it's not so much a deterrent to the punishment, shouldn't that person be sort of taken out, you know, not just put in jail, but shouldn't that person pay for the crimes that they committed? What would you tell people who bring up this argument?
I think that it all comes back down to how sure you are that your legal justice system and your judicial system will in fact give you 100% accuracy that he's the one. And I don't think we have such a fault-proof system yet, certainly not in Malaysia.
Okay, so how do you think the abolition of the death penalty will transform Malaysia? How do you think our country could benefit from it in the long run?
I think it's a step, as I said earlier, it's a step towards a more progressive nation, relying on more progressive and effective methods of crime prevention, and also managing crimes within societies based on methods that actually work, rather than archaic systems that have not resulted in the direct reduction of crimes. So I think Malaysia will benefit, for as long as the abolition of the death penalty is paired with a complete overhaul of our criminal justice system.
Okay, and because there is a public perception, and that a public perception is the one that sort of halted or at least slowed down the previous government's efforts to completely abolish the death penalty. So moving forward, what do you think, whether it's activists, whether it's lawmakers, if they do indeed want to abolish the death penalty, how should they or how can they sort of relay this message to even the most conservative portions of the Malaysian population?
I think it's something that should be addressed quite sensitively. I think it all comes down to education and awareness. And I think once we have understood that really the death penalty has not resulted in the reduction of crime, and it becomes more, as I said, an issue of revenge and to satisfy, you know, perhaps families of victims. I think once we understand that that cannot be the purpose or the rationale behind the death penalty, coupled with the fact that our system is very severely flawed in many, many ways, and that the death penalty is so irreversible that in the event something came up later on that displaced that finding of guilt, there is absolutely nothing you can do to reverse the death penalty that would have already been carried out. So I think it comes down to awareness and educating the public.
Okay. And do you see this happening anytime soon? You know, given that there are more and more countries abolishing the death penalty, that's one side, right? But in a country like Malaysia, what I feel is particularly interesting, perhaps, is that when we look at our neighboring countries, that is also another argument that I've heard, right? When we look at our neighboring countries, a country that many Malaysians consider, you know, very progressive, very economically progressive, you know, despite it being such a small country, they have, reached great heights, and that is Singapore. And Singapore doesn't look like it's going to abolish the death penalty at all. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Singapore has also recently reinforced its stand that it is not abolishing the death penalty. Again, it has equated it to the public safety of Singaporeans, and I think it has associated the death penalty in its success rate of keeping crime rates low. In Malaysia, unfortunately, I do not see the abolishment of the death penalty happening anytime soon. I don't see a real interest in the PN government at the moment that prioritizes this. In fact, I don't see them talking about it at all. If at all there is an answer, it usually is in response to a question raised by perhaps an opposition member of parliament. So I don't see this, unfortunately, happening anytime soon in our country. Perhaps it might be a right question for the current law minister.
All right. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Sangeet.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking to Sangeet Dio, a lawyer and member of the All Party Parliamentary Group Malaysia, and she was discussing and answering the question, what if Malaysia abolished the death penalty? So if you missed any part of this conversation or the first few episodes of the mini-series, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or you can even subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. You just have to search BFM Live and Learn. Once again, I'm Darshan Johan, and you've been listening to What If Malaysia on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.